Welcome now to hour number two of our two-hour weekend get-together here on A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we'll be hearing more from Carol Marks, the host of the program. But looking ahead at this hour, we're going to be joined for most of it by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who'll be talking with Tracy Metro. She's known as Ringmaster of the Domestic Circus, and she appears on Home Made Simple, a new show on OWN and TLC's Designing Spaces. She'll give tips and advice on do-it-yourself projects for spring. And also, Richard will be talking with John Wendell. He's the husband of Susan Spencer Wendell, who was a journalist for over 20 years and diagnosed with ALS, more commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease, in 2011. And her husband, John's going to talk about her book, Until I Say Goodbye, My Year of Living with Joy, published by Harper. All right, let's jump right into this hour. Here's Carol Marks in conversation with Dr. Carrie Precent. He's an internist, hematologist, and oncologist in Los Angeles, and a national expert in healthcare. He's going to talk to Carol about his book titled Surviving American Medicine, How to Get the Right Doctor, Right Hospital, and Right Treatment, published by iUniverse.
Now, you said you're pro-patient, pro-doctor, and even pro-insurance. So if you had to say, what was your motivation in writing Surviving American Medicine?
You know, Carol, whenever I go to a party or even a family function, any type of get-together, I'm always asked at least one question by someone saying, oh, well, I have this problem. How can I find a doctor? What should I do about this problem, this symptom I've been having? Gee, I've taken all this medicine. I'm not getting better. And it seemed like people needed advice, not for me to examine them and to come up with a solution for them at the party or when the question's being asked, but they needed information about how to use the system more effectively. And it starts out when I've been getting questions about, you know, I just lost my health insurance, or I changed to a new job and they don't offer health insurance, or my employer just came up with a whole new set of options for health insurance for the next year. You know, as we're getting into this new year, a lot of employers have changed their insurance policies in preparation for the Affordable Care Act. And so I'm getting more questions about insurance now. So I said, you know, I can't be at, you know, a million different parties giving a million different people advice. How about if I wrote a book based on my years of experience, both in academics and in private practice, with health plans, with creating public policy? How about coming up with my tips for people about what they should be doing, how they can deal with the system, get their own doctors to pay attention to what their symptoms are, getting second opinions when appropriate, getting the right kind of insurance that affords people the opportunity to check out different doctors rather than just have one doctor and have an inability to get anyplace else. So it was these kinds of questions, both from my family and friends and people that I had just met, that prompted writing the book. And I hope it summarized my feelings about how I feel about medicine, how much I'm in favor of a doctor being very, very responsive to the patient, a patient being very open and asking all the questions with their doctor, and working together with a physician to choose the best health insurance when a choice needs to be made.
And that's so important because, as you said, the whole system is changing with employers and with the new Affordable Health Care Act. Now, one of the main problems with medical care today, I think, is that we all see a variety of specialists, and I was amazed to find that Medicare patients have on average 7 doctors in 4 different practices, and often the doctors don't communicate with each other. So there's no one communicating a patient's care and really knowing what's going on. So what can we do to correct this unfortunate situation, which happens a lot?
Well, the problem in communication is one that may be approached partially by electronic health records. You know, as we make this transition from doctors scribbling their notes, and I'm very guilty of that. I can tell you that my scribbles are pretty incomprehensible, especially when I try to figure out what I wrote down as a note some prior time, and I can't read some of the words in it. As we make that transition from the scribbled note into the electronic medical record, where a lot of diagnoses are put in very clear and legible and understandable terms, and the plan is typed out and patients can read it, doctors that I refer patients to and that I'm getting patients from can read what my opinion is, These things will help in communication pretty effectively. But the patient has a big role to play, too. So one of the focuses of the book is what can a patient do to make certain their health care gets better? Now, a patient can't say to the doctor, could you start using electronic health records so I can read what you wrote? That's certainly not a possibility. But a patient can select a physician who uses electronic health records. A patient can take information from one doctor to another doctor very effectively. I get a lot of patients who come in saying, I was just over to see Dr. Jones, and this is what he feels. And if I have questions about that, I can call Dr. Jones. And my patients often say, can you call Dr. Jones while I'm here and check out things with him? Now, if you've ever tried to get a hold of a doctor on the phone, you know you have the same problems trying to get a hold of that doctor.
Oh, it can be terrible. The calls sometimes never get returned.
Right. And so, number one, you have to be with a doctor who will return your calls. Number two, you have to be with a doctor who's willing to say, okay, well, I'm examining you. I'll have the medical assistant outside get Dr. Jones on the phone so I can talk things over with him. Or, you know, you can be satisfied if the doctor says, I will call Dr. Jones and let him know what's happening, or I will send him a copy of the note so I'm sure we know what's happening between us. You can be satisfied with that, provided you follow up with Dr. Jones as well as your own doctor to make certain that that linkage has been made. You don't have to get a hold of the doctor again. You can get a hold of the receptionist or the medical assistant to find out if the doctor's contacted Dr. Jones, and you can find out from Dr. Jones's nurses or receptionist the same way. So what this means is that a patient needs to take more responsibility now, because with healthcare reform, there are more responsibilities that the doctor has to spend more time documenting what they've done, the electronic health record, for example, getting authorizations for care. We all know about you have to wait until the insurance company comes out with an authorization for a test or a treatment that you want to have done. And so there's a lot more responsibility that the patient has to become involved in their care, checking with the different doctors and seeing what happens. Now, your statistics are entirely correct. The average Medicare patient has about 7 different doctors. My patients come in to me. I had a patient come in last week and said, you know, my social calendar is just about full with all of the doctor appointments that I have to take. There's not a lot of time left over for a lot of fun trips and fun other things. And that comment that the patient made, I think, is very true. We have become a society where our concept of medicine is very often you need to go to a specialist to be sure you're getting really good care. And even if your internist or your family practice doctor assumes they are giving you good care, very often you have to find a second opinion to make absolutely certain you're getting the right therapy. So that means you're going to be seeing a lot of specialists, you're going to be seeing some second opinions, and you're going to be talking with your family, maybe your friends, maybe support groups, about what your care is like. Are you getting the right treatments for your illness or condition? And that involvement of the patient in getting more information, the involvement of the patient with more doctors, is a very positive part of American medicine. It's why we have the best system in the world and why people come from all over the world to get care here. It's because they know that doctors will do the very best in the area of their specialization for the patient. And that, I think, is reassuring to all of us.
Yeah, now one thing that I do is when I go to have a test or some procedure done, I make sure that all the specialists that I'm involved with get a copy of that report. And so then when I go in to see them, I can ask, you got my report right? And then they have an idea, more of an idea about what's going on.
Well, Carol, in the book I have a little test that you can take to see if you're a very good patient. From what you just told me, Carol, you will rank very high on that self-evaluation little test. It's just a mini test. It takes no time at all to do. But the book really helps you to see, are you doing the right job as a patient? And one of the things you can do is to make certain that you have your own home medical record, the record of what tests have been done, what are the results, the record of what the doctor said each time and what the consultation said, the record of a pathology report if a biopsy has been done, or an x-ray report from last year so that you can compare it to this year. And you bring that little record with you when you go to the doctor's offices It can be electronic, but very often it has to be on paper also, because a lot of doctors won't take the time to go through a lot of electronic reports when they're sitting with you, and you don't want to leave your electronic records with a doctor. So a lot of times you have to have the paper that you take with you. And I can't tell you how many times I look through my record and I say, you know, I don't have a copy of what Dr. Jones said about you. And so I say, do you have a copy? And very often my really good patients have a copy. And they say, sure, here it is. And I make a copy, put it in my records. And that way we know that all the communication has been done through the efforts of the patient. And it's one thing that you and all of our listeners today can do, and that's to help the doctor be more efficient, help to make certain that you get the right decisions every time you go see the doctor. It's silly to go see a doctor and the doctor say, oh, come back in 2 weeks when I have that report from Dr. Jones. If you have the report with you, you know you can get that care at the time that you have that appointment, and it saves you time and effort and actually saves you dollars as well in terms of getting the right care, the right time, with the right treatment.
That's Dr. Carrie Present in conversation with Carol Marks. His book is titled Surviving American Medicine, How to Get the Right Doctor, Right Hospital, and Right Treatment, published by iUniverse. For more information, visit survivingamericanmedicine.com. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with The Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. Richard is in conversation now with Tracy Metro. She's known as Ringmaster of the Domestic Circus, and she appears on Home Made Simple, a new show on OWN and TLC's Designing Spaces. She'll give tips and advice on do-it-yourself projects for spring.
And spring is in the air today, Tracy, and people think about spring fever and spring cleaning. And with so much attention on TV and every place today about hoarders, people who keep things that they shouldn't, I understand you're somewhat guilty of that, no?
Richard, my husband says that I am a hoardinizer because I tend to keep a lot of things, but I'm very organized about it. And in my defense, Richard, I actually am going to use the things. I'm a huge crafter. So I keep random things that I know I'll use for crafting.
Well, you know, the problem is the minute you throw something like that out, the next day you need it.
I'm looking for googly eyes.
Exactly. I mean, there are things that you think, geez, well, I'm never going to use this again. And then the next day something breaks down and you're looking for the part. And, gee, I had it, but I don't have it anymore. So is it just a question of organization, basically, or is it basically you run out of room and you have to part with some things and you have to think about what you're going to part with?
It, you know, I think it's all of that, and it's also about getting behind things. You know, all year long, you put magazines in a stack and a stack and a stack, let's say, and, you know, you're reading them and you're, you know, rifling through them, but behind it, there's probably some dust bunnies that have collected, you know? So it's about getting rid of things. Actually, I've broken it down into four tips.
Okay.
So, and I've teamed up with some companies to help me share these tips, and the first tip is about easy access. If you have to go looking for your cleaning supplies, are you really going to clean if it's not easily accessible? So Windex has a new product called the Touch-Up Cleaner. It's cute enough that it sits out, so right there, it's easy access. There's one for the kitchen, one for the bathroom, and because it's accessible, anybody that comes over, and if there's a spill on the kitchen counter, they just, you know, dab it, clean it, and they're done. Because it's got like a pump on top. So you take your paper towel, you pump it, the Windex comes out, and then you clean it, and then you just obviously toss the paper towel. So that access, I think, to cleaning supplies is of paramount importance when trying to maintain.
Number two tip.
Number two, you hit it on the head, decluttering. You want to get rid of stuff that you don't need. I recently cleaned out my laundry room and honestly was so appalled by the amount of just excess stuff that I had in there, like detergent bottles. I had detergent bottles that weren't quite empty but had just like, you know, maybe one usage left. Why? Why did I still have them? I don't know.
Tracy, I'm a big combiner. When something like that happens, I take, the little bit in one, and I put it in the other one, and then I put it in another one, and before I know it, I've disposed of two or three containers, and I've got one container with a lot of stuff. The thing you got to be careful about, of course, if you mix the wrong things, you might have a little problem, right?
And that's exactly why.
Hello?
You hit it on the head. That is precisely why I had those bottles, and they were turned upside down to use that one last load, but it was, you know, that kind of a thing. So a way to declutter, obviously not everybody's in the market for a brand new machine, but if you are, a new washing machine, GE has a high-efficiency top loader with smart dispense, and the smart dispense is what allows you to declutter because the second you get home from the store, you pour a gallon-plus container of laundry detergent into the machine. So then you immediately toss out the container. And because it's got smart dispense, it automatically dispenses the proper amount of detergent and water based on the load that you're washing. And it has the largest capacity, which means you're doing fewer loads, which means you're wasting less water.
That is a terrific invention, boy, of these labor-saving devices. Some of your other tips.
Next tip is being maintenance-free. If you can invest in things around your house that don't require you to tend to them all the time, they'll, A, look better, and, B, you'll free up time that you want to spend doing other things, not cleaning. In your bathroom, most of us have a faucet that has fingerprints, grease marks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Moen has a faucet called the Asheville faucet that has a spot-resist finish. So it looks like it's stainless steel, but It doesn't show fingerprints and watermarks like stainless steel. It also has microban antimicrobial technology, which resists stain-causing bacteria. So it's got some technology behind it, and yet it's completely accessible. You can get it at the Home Depot.
Oh, that's a great idea. Number four.
My last tip is about protection. Most people think springtime is about getting rid of. I actually kind of think springtime is about getting rid of stuff you don't need, like the detergent bottles, but keeping what you do need. And so much of our lives are lived digitally and on our computers, whether it's work or it's home. We've got our music, our photos, our documents. But what happens if you lose your computer, if you break your computer? I have my stuff, and I've had it backed up to a carbonized cloud for years. I have it backed up there, so God forbid something does happen to the computer, I can always access the info. And I'm actually in New York right now, but I live in L.A. And yesterday, I needed a document. I brought my iPad with me. I needed a document, so I went up to carbonized cloud. I grabbed my document that I needed, and I was able to access it right there on my iPad. So you don't have to lug around a heavy computer. It's always, available for you no matter where you are.
And that's great, too, because then you don't have to make paper copies of things to back it up. You can just do it into the cloud, and you're covered, as opposed to, I've got it my computer, but what if it crashes? Oh, no, I've got to keep
right.
a paper copy.
And I know nobody wants the paper. Nobody wants to carry an external hard drive or a thumb drive or you know what I mean? So, and what I like about Carbonite in particular is you can pause it. So, like at night or during the day when I'm working, sometimes I'll pause it so my computer is as fast as possible. And then at nighttime when I'm asleep, I let it run at its full speed.
Now, I know a lot of people are concerned, though, about security, that if it's out there in the cloud, that somebody can get a hold of your personal information. What are the steps you do to prevent that from happening?
It's just like people that bank online. It's just like, everything, all of us, everything is online. Just password protect yourself and change your password regularly. And obviously make it something that isn't your name, make it, and don't, your dog's name, something that people can easily figure out. And have some alphanumeric part of your password as well. So
yep.
Letters and numbers.
That's Tracy Metro with Richard Neer on A Touch of Gray. She's known as the ringmaster of the domestic circus. Richard returns with more conversation when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the final half hour of our big two-hour weekend get-together, and we're joined, as is customary at this time, for the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who in just a moment will be talking with John Wendell, the husband of Susan Spencer Wendell, who was a journalist for over 20 years and was diagnosed with ALS, more commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease, back in 2011. Her husband, John, will talk to Richard about her book titled Until I Say Goodbye, My Year of Living with Joy, published by Harper. Well, Richard, looking ahead to that conversation, which I know you already conducted, I guess even though she writes from a positive perspective, it is a very serious and sad subject.
Well, absolutely. We've been aware of Lou Gehrig's disease. I mean, we were aware of it before Lou Gehrig contracted it, but to this day, there is no cure. And we have seen books written about it. There was a famous caddy who contracted it, and John Feinstein, a friend of the program, wrote a long book about his struggle. And the great thing about Susan is that she took this as an opportunity You know, the term bucket list, well, this is much more than a bucket list. These are things that she felt she wanted to do, that she should do to enrich her life and other people's lives. And she's really turned this into a very positive time, despite the fact that there is a very, very clear limit as to when that time will end.
You know, it's interesting. Stephen Hawking, the renowned physicist, has ALS, and they basically didn't think he'd live, you know, past middle age, and he's now into his 70s, and it's proof that even with a disease as terminal as ALS, or as you know, understood, we understand what we don't understand about it. In other words, it's pretty grim. That it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go the way they say. He's an amazing figure. It should be Lou Gehrig, Stephen Hawking disease. I mean, because he at least has provided hope. Talk about a productive life under the worst of conditions.
And you know, a doctor will always say, well, you know, there's only a 1% or 2% chance. They'll give you the grim news. Well, you could be in that 1% or 2%, couldn't you?
Yeah. And then, of course, the question comes up of mind over matter. What in the human mind, what in the human spirit goes into play that operates in such a way as to counter the physiological evidence or the facts that scientists and doctors work with? You know, some doctors will acknowledge that there is that mind over matter factor. Others absolutely disdain it when you talk to them about it. No, the body is a machine. You know, it's mechanical. These are areas of science that are quite gray and quite murky, and of course it offers hope. But that mind over matter thing isn't that easy to tap into. Most people that have it don't even know they're doing it. That's what I have found.
And the mind is part of that machine, though. You know, the brain is part of the body. It's a physical entity in the body. So the brain can overcome certain things, and we know it. I mean, the brain can reduce stress. The brain can cause stress. The brain basically is the master computer of the entire body. So to think that it can't control certain things, I think, is pretty naive.
Yeah, well, our entire human awareness of reality is basically as interpreted by the brain. There is only the brain, if you stop and think about it. And, you know, without getting too philosophical here, because we're sort of drifting off into that, and the clock is ticking, we only have about 30 seconds left in the segment, the separation of mind from matter, the feeling that most people have that they are separate from reality, that their thoughts and consciousness are the product of reality, and that when that goes, they're gone. That's something that we really have not fully come to grips with, what the role of consciousness and the reality of the universe really is. Well, on that note, let's get back to reality and listen to Richard Neer speaking with John Wendell in the next segment. And then Richard will be back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the role of upper demographics and sports. When A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again, as promised, is our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, in conversation with John Wendell. He's the husband of Susan Spencer Wendell, who was a journalist for over 20 years and then diagnosed with ALS, more commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease, back in 2011. Her husband John's going to talk to Richard about her book, Until I Say Goodbye, My Year of Living with Joy, published by Harper.
Your wife had some symptoms, obviously, before she was diagnosed. What did you go through prior to that diagnosis?
Well, of course, going doctor to doctor and trying to figure out what was wrong. And they were sort of mystified because it was just, of course, ALS is a motor neuron disease that actually, nerves that fire the muscles actually die, and then the involuntary muscles begin to wither and atrophy until the patient becomes completely paralyzed. But this started in her hand, and it was just very isolated for a long time, and so we couldn't figure out what it was until it started to spread.
And
it was difficult, because not knowing what's going on, of course, is never easy.
And when she did get the diagnosis in June of 11, most people understand that ALS, there is no cure. It is something that just progresses sometimes more rapidly than others. What was your initial reaction?
You're devastated. But she very quickly sort of went through those steps of realizing that you're going to die. You know, the anger, denial, et cetera. And then she just very quickly arrived at acceptance and said, okay, well, if this is my fate, then I'm just going to accept it and try to make the most of what time I have left. And that's when she decided to, she says, live with joy and plant a garden of memories for those of us that she cared for most. And so she basically planned a series of trips with each of us and to, like I said, plant that garden of memories.
Well, it's become colloquially known now because of the motion picture as the bucket list, but obviously her final year was much, much more than that.
Right. Bucket list is kind of simplifying the whole thing. I always think of it like bungee jumping or skydiving for bucket list, but these were just trips, things that she wanted to do. For example, New York City, my daughter wanted to see a Broadway show and see the city. Of course, she was 14. But Susan also wanted to experience, shopping for a wedding dress with her, knowing that she would never get to do that when her daughter Marina would someday get married. So they did that. She and I went back to Budapest, which is where we spent the first 2 years of our married lives together. And we celebrated our 20th anniversary there in Budapest and saw old friends and just went back to see where we, where our lives together had sort of begun. And that was very special.
In a lot of ways, an illness like this can be harder on the caregiver than the person themselves. How did you handle all of this? There must have been times when you despaired almost and couldn't maintain the kind of positive attitude that she had, no?
Well, I tell you that her attitude is what sort of keeps me going. And, of course, I mean, we know that each day she'll be a little weaker than the day before. So it's not like, hey, doing better. It's always going to be a little bit worse. But her attitude is what keeps me going. And I wake up in the morning and she wakes up next to me and I see her smiling and I figure, well, if she's going to smile, then I can face the day with a smile too. And, you know, it's work. To be happy takes work. And so she makes it a point every day to, with joy and to be happy. So that's, I take my cues from her.
And you learn so much in that, you know, we all say, well, make each day, celebrate it as if it's your last. Be good to people. Don't let little things get you down. But it seems that in everyday life, most of us forget that. And we do sweat the details and the little things, and we don't take advantage, do we?
No, it's true. And it just makes you realize what the little things are and what the big things are. And it keeps things, it puts them in perspective. And just knowing that, that our time is limited here on this planet. So make the most of it.
And John, what went into the decision to actually put this into literary form and make a book of the story?
It was actually, kind of serendipitous. I mean, she had always wanted to write, and since she was a journalist, she'd been a journalist for over 20 years. She covered criminal courts for the Palm Beach County for a long time, so she had just been writing and had always written, and so she decided, you know, every reporter says, well, someday I'd like to write a book. And her life, even without the diagnosis, is probably book-worthy, given just all the various things she's reported on and people she's come across in her life. And then additionally, having been adopted and finding her birth mother and tracking down the family of her biological father was just something that was just really so... well, there's just so many strange and odd twists and turns. It's almost like her life reads like a mystery novel, sort of, tracking down her biological father in the country of Cyprus. And, well, he's now deceased, but the family, actually, just really is very interesting. So she had always wanted to write, but when she wrote up this first story, wrote them as love letters to the people closest to her. So the first one was her story of her trip to the Yukon with her best friend Nancy to see the Northern Lights. And she wrote that and went into the Palm Beach Post, our local paper. And then she wrote a story of our trip to Budapest. And that too went into the local paper. But then it was picked up and posted on a Wall Street Journal blog. And then an agent saw it and said, hey, this is book worthy. And approached her about writing the memoir, and the next 6 months were just a whirlwind, her trying to get this finished, because, of course, she's nearly paralyzed and wrote nearly the entire book on her iPhone because her thumb was the only digit that still worked.
John, in doing this, obviously, you've had so much contact with this disease. What is the status now? We know there's no cure, but is there hope? Is there research that is promising? What do you know about that?
Very hopeful. Just knowing the way science operates and the way that the FDA, et cetera, it's going to take some years before there's a cure, but they are really sort of hot on the trail, if to use that phrase. Of coming to a cure. I mean, they've isolated genes and they're examining various therapies for those genes. And, so it's very hopeful. However, not for Susan. She's so far along in the disease that by the time anything comes out, she'll probably be dead before any cure comes along.
That's John Wendell in conversation with Richard Neer, and the book that he was discussing was written by his wife, Until I Say Goodbye, My Year of Living with Joy, published by Harper. Richard Neer joins us for the final segment of the show coming up in just a moment.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
For almost every American worker, Social Security is part of the plan for a secure retirement. It's important to know how the program works. If you have questions, the answers are easy to find when you visit www.socialsecurity.gov. Use the retirement estimator to get a benefit estimate. Browse our frequently asked questions. You can even apply for benefits online. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov to figure out your retirement plan. That's www.socialsecurity.gov.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined again by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, for some final words as we enter the final segment of this big two-hour get-together. Richard, you are an anchor here on this program, a senior correspondent on A Touch of Gray. You deal with authors on Podjockey. You're a sports talk show host in New York. You've got a lot of feathers in your cap. Here's a question that taps into all of them. I've been watching the NBA playoffs, and it's always interesting to watch the young guys and the older guys. And one of the things that's been kind of evident in this playoff, as usually is the case, is that the weakness of the older players when it comes to endurance, when it comes to having strength in their legs at the end of the four quarters, versus young guys and their lack of experience. What do you think in sports? What sports are friendly to older in the big sports to the older players, and which ones are the ones that weed them out real quickly.
Well, bocce ball.
No, I'm talking about golf. You know, football, basketball, hockey, and baseball, the four big sports.
Well, again, it depends on the position you play. If you are a baseball pitcher and you can be a crafty, wily veteran, you know, we've seen pitchers pitch. Mariano Rivera, for example, is 43 years old and still going strong. So you can pitch into your 40s if you have control and a good breaking pitch. You can't necessarily throw the ball 100 miles an hour like the 22-year-olds can, but you can get by on guile. Football players, boy, you tend at 35, boy, you better be an offensive lineman that weighs 300 pounds and has good knees. Basketball, Jason Kidd, I think you're alluding to the Knicks-Celtics series. Jason Kidd is 40 years old and still playing, but you can tell he's wearing down at the end of games, and when he has two games in 3 days, you can tell the second game there's not much left. So there's a stamina factor there. And hockey, we've seen older goaltenders. Martin Brodeur, for example, is 40 years old. But again, once you start to get past 35 in any major sport, that's when it usually starts to go downhill for you, unless you are taking some sort of magical substance.
Ah, which I didn't even mean to get into that, but no question that has played a role. And that kind of muddies the water, doesn't it, looking back at recent history at some players who were remarkably better when they were older than when they were younger.
Yes, they got better as they aged. But, I mean, there's a certain amount of, as you talk about experience and wisdom, things that you learn to avoid, mistakes that you don't make, chances that you won't take when you're older, that you might take when you're younger, that don't necessarily pay off in the long term. So there is that beautiful blend. Maybe it happens around 30, 31, 32 of experience, and yet you're still young enough to have the physical skills. And that's usually the prime of your career.
Don't they say the best teams are the teams that have a blend of veterans and young guys, that the veterans help the young guys get through the scary stuff like being in the playoffs for the first time, and the young guys help the veterans not wear out? We only have about 15 seconds.
Yeah, well, if the young guys are coachable, if they'll listen, which a lot of them won't.
Well, there's endless angles and nuances to sports. Very interesting topic indeed. Senior correspondent Richard Neer, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Beverly Santinello on the front line, our producer. Thank you, Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program, Steve Wiseman, Kevin Casey, the entire Touch of Gray broadcast team. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another 2-hour installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.